Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Aura.
And I'm Caroline. Together, we're the Grimm sisters. Today, we are discussing the woman who inspired the phrase, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned."
She makes Cersei Lannister look like a saint, and honestly, I think maybe she's Cersei's patron saint because...
Not only that, but she's definitely kind of like a personal hero for both of us, I think.
Yeah, she's one of those people that you can't really believe they existed, and... You just hear about the stuff that she did and you're like, how is this possible? How did she do this? We love her.
It's like on one hand, she kind of did things that are a little bit crazy, but like...
A palatable crazy that yes. Women support.
Like, it's just such a good story.
It is. Honestly, I wish they had made more movies about it because there's one Ukrainian-Belarusian movie about it or something.
That's it? Yeah. You know, I think she should be a Disney princess, actually.
I agree.
Yeah.
Just like last week, we're kind of taking a darker turn for Disney, but...
Just a little bit, guys. Yeah, definitely not anything crazy.
Demonic little mongoose and...
Yeah. it's fine.
Anyways, today our topic is Princess Olga of Kiev, and she's also known as her Christianized name of Saint Elena or simply as Saint Olga.
It's important to know that Olga's husband, Prince Igor I of Kiev, is key to this topic. She wasn't defined by him, but he's definitely important to her story. He sort of acts as a catalyst for much of the things that she does.
Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, very little is known of Olga's life before her marriage to Prince Igor. She was married to Prince Igor at the latest age 15, so it honestly could have been younger than that she was married to him, but people say she was no more than age 15. Prince Igor was prince of the first East Slavic state, known as Kievan Rus, which is located in what is modern-day Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia.
In the next few years, Olga had a son with Igor named Sviatoslav.
And Igor's predecessors had managed to conquer a neighboring tribe known as the Drevlians, but upon the death of other nobles of influence in Igor's court that kind of acted as his co-rulers or advisors, the Drevlians actually stopped paying tribute.
So Igor traveled to their lands to demand tribute, and then he left with the tribute they gave him. For some reason, on the way home, he was convinced to return to the tribe and demand more tribute. And this was a pretty big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Very not good.
The Drevlians, because Igor had come back with a smaller party of protectors, they actually ended up killing Igor in a very horrifying display. Quote, "They had bent down two birch trees to the prince's feet and tied them to his legs. Then they let the trees straighten again, thus tearing the prince's body apart," end quote.
Yikes! I think that would hurt.
Just picturing that.
I mean, for the record, maybe it happened really quick, though, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know, because I'm just thinking of, like, feeling the tear, which the first place you would feel the tear would be, unfortunately, your genitals, probably, because, like, going upwards. So... I don't know, just what a creative way to kill someone. Like, what convinced them to be like, this is how we're going to do it. We're not going to behead him. We're not going to stab him.
We're just going to tie him to two trees and let the trees go. Let them go. Let them do their thing.
Then they can be like, it wasn't us. It was nature. Nature did it.
So when Igor is murdered, his son Sviatoslav was only 3 years old and way too young to take the throne himself. And so Olga rules in his place. And she's actually the first woman to rule what is now Russia.
Olga becoming regent actually seemed to be, you know, a great opportunity for the Drevlians, who thought that Olga was just another weak, demure, easily dismissible noblewoman that could be pushed around. The Drevlians sought to not only be free from having to pay tribute to the Kievan Rus, they also wanted to rule the Kievan Rus.
So the Drevlians end up sending a contingent of 20 of their best men to try to persuade Olga to marry their own Prince Mao. This was essentially her husband's murderer. He may not have had a direct hand in killing Igor, but he played some kind of role in mm-hmm. Igor's death. And I'm sure it felt that way to Olga.
Mm-hmm. Also, interestingly enough, Prince Mal, I find it really interesting that Mal literally means bad in
yes,
so many...
Yes, like, I was thinking
it's
that.
It's the root word for bad in so many languages.
Yeah. What were his parents thinking?
His parents were like, we're gonna name him Scar, like in Lion King.
I know.
Although apparently Scar's actual name translates to garbage. like his name before he was Scar, but then after he was scarred,
he changed his name to Scar. I mean, for the record, Scar's a better name.
I know. I was like, only when your name is garbage do you feel like Scar is a better name.
Yeah.
But anyways, Olga is reported to have said, quote, "Your proposal is pleasing to me, indeed. My husband cannot rise again from the dead. But I desire to honor you tomorrow in the presence of my people. Return now to your boat and remain there with an aspect of arrogance. I shall send for you on the morrow, and you shall say, 'We will not ride our horses nor go on foot. Carry us in our boat.' And you shall be carried in your boat." End quote.
The Drevlians did exactly as she said, and the people of Kiev rose up and carried the Drevlians in on their boat to see Olga's court. And then they were unceremoniously dropped into a pit dug the day before under Olga's orders. And then they were buried alive.
I just love the progression of this. She's like, "We'll carry you in a boat."
She's like, so you're poetic being, and like dramatic.
Exactly.
And,
like you're being lifted on.
Lift high.
You know how royalty was held on those like chaise lounges or whatever? It's like that. And then actually, we're just going to dump you in this giant 50 foot pit that we dug the day before, and then you're gonna be buried
up and you're not gonna have a way out. But
I don't know, I love her ruthlessness.
Yeah, just, I know,
she's like, "You're gonna kill my husband and I'm gonna come for you."
They think that she's, you know, just kind of this like silly woman, right, who doesn't know how to rule. She doesn't know anything, and obviously she's sitting there like, haha, they think that I'm stupid because I'm a woman. I'll show them.
Mm-hmm. And she's totally playing into it.
Yeah, but she's like, playing into it, right?
Like, this she's is using so pleasing their, to me.
I desperately need to get married because I'm just a poor, innocent woman.
I need a man to guide me in my morals and my ways. I am not so without a man. And it's actually written that Olga bent down to watch them as they were being buried. And, quote, "inquired whether they found the honor to their taste," end quote.
She's so savage.
What a badass. I love her so much. I can just picture her leaning over and being like, "Is this to your taste?
Are you guys happy?
Is this arrogant enough for you? Is this the best welcome you've had?
Is this what you were hoping for?" But that was not even close to being the end of it.
No, it was not. We're getting started. This is the warm up.
Yep. So Olga ended up still sending word back to Prince Mal that she would accept his proposal, but only if the Drevlian sent, quote, "their distinguished men to her in Kiev so that she might go to their prince with due honor."
I just can't stop laughing. She's literally just playing right into their hands. She's like, "I know where to stroke the ego and then I will destroy them."
Yep.
I love her.
I also love how she is using the fact that sending letters and stuff is really slow.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Drevlians back at home, they don't know what happened to the others.
And it also gets more interesting how they haven't heard back from their contingents and they're like, "This is fine.
Everything's fine. It's clearly nothing suspicious here at all."
In relation to that, Prince Mal and the Drevlians, unaware of the fate of the first diplomatic party they sent, they gathered and sent an entirely new party of chieftains and noblemen to collect Olga, and they were described as, quote, "the best man who governed the land," end quote.
Olga, after throwing the men a grand entrance and welcome, then invited the visitors to wash up and recuperate in her bathhouse. You know, very welcoming.
Oh, nice. A nice little spa day.
She locked the doors. Olga set fire to the entirety of the building, burning the contingent of chieftains and nobles inside alive.
That just reminds me really strongly of the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones. I feel like people who don't even know Game of Thrones usually know the Red Wedding just because it's the scene where everyone's good and then suddenly it's like slaughter.
Yeah, that's all I know about it is everything's fine and then they all die.
I can't imagine just like, you know, you're in the bathhouse, you're in the water, you're bathing and stuff, and you're like, "Oh wait, this is a sauna. There's steam."
It's this like, is awesome.
No, there's a fire.
You know, an hour later, they're just like crispy.
You are burning crispy alive. Little,
like, you know, chicken legs.
We have barbecued for tonight's dinner.
Came straight from our bathhouse. With essentially the majority of the Drevlian nobility and chieftains gone, thanks to Olga, she actually wrote to the Drevlians and Prince Mal yet again and informed them she would soon arrive and told them to prepare a funerary feast for her husband to honor him.
And the Drevlians, apparently super daft in their sexism, didn't suspect a single thing was wrong, despite not hearing from any of the contingents they had sent to Olga's court, which I don't know if it was just because the mail was slow or because they were slow. So.
Really? Like, come on, guys.
Anyways, so they ended up preparing this feast that she asked for. And just as Olga probably predicted, they ended up getting blackout drunk on the mead that they had provided. And 5,000 of Olga's soldiers dispatched them very easily.
But Olga still was not satisfied in her vengeance. Despite the Drevlians literally begging her for mercy and paying tribute in honey and furs to her, like, they were literally giving her whatever they wanted, she still was just like, nope.
And honey and furs were extremely expensive. They were considered to be the best of the best. Yet despite this, she seemed to have softened, and she said, quote, "Give me 3 pigeons and 3 sparrows from each house. I do not desire to impose a heavy tribute, like my husband, but I require only this small gift from you, for you are impoverished by the siege," end quote. And this is where Olga's cunning and mind for strategy truly shines, as does her bloodthirsty vengeance, as we will see.
Primary source documents say, quote, "Now Olga gave to each soldier in her army a pigeon or a sparrow, and ordered them to attach by thread to each pigeon and sparrow a piece of sulfur bound with small piece of cloth. When night fell, Olga bade her soldiers release the pigeons and the sparrows, so the birds flew to their nests, the pigeons to the cotes, and the sparrows under the eaves. The dovecotes, the coops, the porches, and the haymows were set on fire."
Who... Like, no one except Olga would think of that. Literally no one.
Right? Like, she just keeps coming up with new ways to viciously kill these people.
I can't imagine if they had killed not only Igor, but had killed Sviatoslav. Like,
oh my gosh.
What
she'd still be killing them.
The pure genius that she has for inventing these schemes is remarkable. Literally unchallenged.
I feel like she's been sitting there watching all of these men go off and fight and do war stuff all the time. And she's just been sitting there the whole time like, I have a better idea, but they won't listen to me. And
literally,
then her husband dies, and she's just like, ha, 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 my time has come.
Literally why, you know, there's goddesses of battle strategy and then gods of war. They're very different. So these documents go on to say, quote, "There was not a house that was not consumed, and it was impossible to extinguish the flames because all of the houses caught fire at once. The people fled from the city, and Olga ordered her soldiers to catch them. Thus, she took the city and burned it and captured the elders of the city. Some of the other captives she killed, while some she gave to others as slaves to her followers. The remnant she left to pay tribute," end quote.
So in short, Olga buried alive, burned alive, ambushed, and then again burned alive the Drevlians, all to avenge her murdered husband.
Give me a love like that. I don't know if it's toxic or if it's just really true impassioned, love. But give me a love like that.
After this, Olga remained regent ruler of Kievan Rus with the support of not only her amassed army, but also of her people. Despite her ruthlessness and cunning when it came to the Drevlians, she was said to have been highly respected by her subjects. She actually conducted the first recorded legal reform in Eastern Europe by changing the system of tribute gathering.
And she also continued to evade marriage proposals, as well as defending the city during the siege of Kiev in 968 CE, and even managed to save the power of the throne for her son, which a woman holding power for that long in that time and how chaotic the tribes and the warring between them was, it's really impressive.
I also really like that she was saving the power for her son, you know, who was kind of the supposed to be heir. Because I feel like a lot of times you see people, like men or women, who they sort of come into power accidentally the way she did. They get really power hungry and they are like, no, I'm keeping this for myself. And, you know, they end up like killing their kids or like you know, exiling them or whatever. And it's just really sad and horrible. But in her case, she's just like, nope, saving this for my kid. You know, love my Sviatoslav.
She's like, this is his inheritance. I'm just I'm keeping the seat warm.
Keeping it safe for him. Olga was the first ruler of the Kievan Rus to adopt Christianity after meeting Emperor Constantine VII and being baptized by him personally.
And Olga's efforts to convert the rest of her people earned her the title of Isapostolos, which is equal to the apostles. But to be completely honest, Christianity really didn't take at all. Her son remained pagan, and the people she governed were still dominantly Slavic pagan as well, and they were really dedicated to their gods, especially to their gods of war and their gods of harvest, because these were two things that allowed their communities and their tribes to grow beyond what they had already established. It was having food and being able to conquer. So,
I mean, especially the food, I would think.
For sure.
You can't conquer if you don't have food.
There's such interesting Slavic deities and Slavic monsters and tales and myths related to harvest. And it's so interesting. There's Polonie, which is like a harvest demon, and he stalks the stalks of wheat. And there's another goddess who is supposed to be like a death goddess who you can see her only at high noon, and it's like experiencing heat stroke, but it's actually the goddess coming to like sever your soul. It's really interesting with her scythe, and that's actually where the first ideas of the scythe
that's
like the severing the soul comes from. So like I said, her son remained pagan, so did her people, and then her grandson, who was Vladimir the Great, would actually be the one who would dominantly convert Kievan Rus to Christianity. And his other title is Saint Vladimir, and in a cool little twist, his feast day is 4 days after his grandmother's. July 15th is Saint Vladimir's, and July 11th is Saint Olga's.
That's so cool.
I'm so sad, because, you know, in the Catholic Church, you take a saint name when you're confirmed, and I took Saint Philomena because she was this, like, 13-year-old martyr who they tried to kill her three times, and three times she didn't die, which I was like, I relate to this because I've been hit by 7 cars in my life and, you know, experienced death. And, but now...
See the life flash before your eyes.
Exactly. And now I'm like, I kind of want Olga instead.
She's so cool. Like,
I definitely don't think by today's standards that she would have been made a saint because with all the stuff that she did.
She did some pretty, I mean, let's be real. Like, she did some bad stuff. Yeah. But
I mean, I honestly think it was warranted.
I mean, in those days it was warranted. Yeah. You know, like today, no. But then, yes, for sure. That's just how you settle disputes. You know,
I also like that it's over, you know, her husband being murdered. Like, I don't like that he was murdered, but I think it's very, it's literally such a deep and lasting love.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you hurt me this way?
I love this woman.
She's so cool.
I should have taken that name if only I could go back
if
in time
you
to
knew
myself.
What you know now.
Anyways, a lot of the modern publications about St. Olga are really interesting. Journalists have made articles titled, St. Olga of Kiev is the best warrior princess you ever knew or never knew. And also, meet the murderous Viking princess who brought the faith to Eastern Europe. And it's just so great. She is literally a saint. She's a feminist. She's this warrior princess. She's the first Christian in, you know, Eastern Europe. And it's just so funny.
Yeah. What makes me really happy is that she would understand the pain that I suffer because Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, she died on my birthday. And I feel like if St. Olga were alive today, she too would love Princess Leia and would support me.
I agree.
In this sadness.
I agree. I support you in that sadness. We need to get a handful of glitter and
just throw it.
Throw it in there.
Yeah.
For Carrie Fisher.
For Carrie.
I love Carrie Fisher so
me
much.
Too.
She's that sort of personality that makes you feel at home.
Yeah.
I don't even know. We've never met her.
Obviously never met her.
But we know.
Like, she just seems like somebody who, she was very real and honest, and she never pretended to be something she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I miss her.
She's just an amazing woman.
I miss her.
Take your meds, kids.
Yes, please take your meds.
Take your meds, wear your
glitter. Carrie Fisher would be so proud of you.
I have no doubt she and Olga of Kiev are looking down on us like...
Like, you're doing good,
kids. You go, kids. Again, I just have to say, what a cool lady.
Yeah.
She has a bunch of stuff in modern-day Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine dedicated to her.
That's so cool.
There's airports, train stations, ballets, municipal buildings, statues. There's even an order of Princess Olga, which is like a Ukrainian, a personal honor, I guess. They have like a little, it looks almost like a military badge or like a military honor. And it has her on it, and she's in either silver or gold, and it's a purple ribbon. It's just really pretty. And it's usually used for giving to women for accomplishments be it in the state departments and science and education, cultural, charity, social activities. So it's really interesting.
It sounds like it's kind of like being knighted in the UK.
Yeah, it's essentially that. And it has three kind of grades, I guess, which is like the first class, second class, third class. It has four amethysts and it's really, really pretty. I really want one. And then just a little note, it says in the little Wikipedia page, it says the order can be rescinded by the president of Ukraine if a bearer is convicted of a serious crime.
Oh, okay.
which
is,
you know,
ironic.
I know. It's like a woman murders her husband's murderer and the president's like, we're taking this away from you. And Olga Kiev is like, no, that's what it's for.
It's for revenge.
There's also a French band that made an album about her, which is called A Perfect Absolution. Each song is basically based off of her life. And there's one that's called The Call to Redemption, Birds of Sulfur, Sailing into the Earth, Elements and Spirit, The Acts of God, 5,000 at the Funeral, Carved in the Wind, Varangian Paradise. And Varangian was essentially what I think Prince Igor's predecessors, they were the princes of Varangia, I think.
Okay.
And then Tribute of Blood.
This is either so cool. Clearly like a metal band or...
No, it's like it's folk. Death metal.
Oh, gosh.
It says under genre,
it's clearly
says...
either metal or folk.
On genre, it says only technical death metal, progressive metal.
Gotcha.
We love progressive metal. We love progressivist. But yeah, so she has a very vast and overarching influence in modern day Eastern Europe.
She's the kind of person that people here in the U.S. probably haven't heard as much about.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, a lot of babshas and babas, they'll be like Olga, like, you have to be like Olga. Or, you know, if someone insults them or something, they're like, ah, Olga's eye is, like, watching you, so... Also, I hadn't really heard of her too much in relation to, you know, her being a saint.
Yeah.
But apparently she's very big in Eastern Orthodox Church, Russian Orthodox Church, and, like, Roman Catholic churches in Russia. But I haven't really heard of her that much in relation to, like, Polish masses or anything like that. So I really do think it is more like a Ukrainian, Belarusian, Russian focus, I guess.
But, yeah. That makes sense.
She's very cool. And I think I want to take her name. I'd be like, how many names can I adopt into my own name? There's a really pretty quote about her holiness in contrast to the pagans around her. Although I'm like, that's really, just let the pagans be. Like,
just leave them alone.
They needed their time before they were dominated by the Christians. But, quote, Olga was the precursor of the Christian land, even as the day spring precedes the sun, and as the dawn precedes the day. For she shone like the moon by night, and she was radiant among the infidels like pearls in the mire, since the people were soiled and not yet purified of their sin by holy baptism. But she herself was cleansed by this sacred purification. She was the first from Rus to enter the kingdom of God, and the sons of Rus thus praise her as their leader, for since her death she has interceded with God in their behalf. End quote. So you see a really, remarkably anti-pagan sentiment there.
Oh, very. Of course.
It's really interesting because Eastern Europe is very superstitious and still has a lot of different superstitious customs and stuff that they do, even if they're not necessarily dominantly religious. So it's interesting to me that a lot of these superstitious actions came from pagan actions, like sweeping your front porch to get rid of bad spirits or whatever. Because it's like a really big thing to like sweep your front porch Eastern Europe, but... Yeah, so it's just interesting to me, like, how extensive pagan culture is in Eastern Europe, and yet how
it's stuck around, like, even despite the fact that now it's an area that's got a lot of Orthodoxy or Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm always like, well, actually, and my parents are like, maybe keep that one to yourself. I'm like, you don't think I'm going to convince the hordes of, you know, 80-year-old babas to change their mind about why they sweep their porch and how it's actually of pagan origin? And they're like, no. So, you know, my proselytizing is is unwarranted and unwanted, apparently. But I will keep speaking because Olga backs me. And she Olga does. Would want me to.
She supports you.
But yeah, so definitely a woman you don't want to mess with.
No.
Cersei Lannister's patron saint.
Yep.
And I had a lot of fun on this episode.
I did too. It was good.
I love her so much.
It was really good. I literally knew nothing about Olga prior to this, and I love her now.
Like I said, she's one of the lesser known saints, I think, because by today's standard, she's not very saintly.
No.
But, you know, that's why I think I like her more. One of my favorite saints because of that.
It makes her more interesting.
She said, I'm going to be saint in name only. But I have to respect how passionate she was and, like, how loving she was that she literally was like, I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to avenge my husband's death and, at the same time, play into these men's fragile little egos.
Yeah, for real. She really did. She destroyed their egos.
They were like, oh, this woman will be ours and she will marry Prince Mal and they will have united the clans and it will be all powerful and we will control Kiev and Rus. And she was like, LOL, no. Bet.
She was like, sure, that sounds great. Just kidding. She was sets like, them on fire.
Flicks open Zippo lighter. Oh, but she also did it in such vengeful ways.
Yeah, like she was just like, sit let's think about
dig
that.
This 50-foot pit and drop this boat in there and then start, burying them alive.
And I love how like all the armies were just like, yeah, let's do it. We'll do it for Igor. Yeah.
And they're like, we will help you enact your revenge because we are just as angry and we respect you just as much.
You know, like they were just like,
I mean, they loved her. They loved her so much.
They were like, yeah. Yeah.
We were like,
we loved Igor and we love Olga.
Exactly.
So you guys can please give us a follow on all of our social media accounts.
On Instagram and Facebook, we're at Wicked Weird and Grim. And on Twitter, we're just at Wicked Weird Grim.
Please like and subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a nice 5-star review. We would love to hear from you. We are also on Patreon. Go support us there. We would absolutely really love that. And yeah, I think
we're also open to voice messages on Anchor. So you guys can actually either leave a comment about the show or even suggest to us a new topic or mention something that we covered that's like an extra fact, something like that.
Practice
so
if we messed up.
We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And we might even end up featuring it the next time we record. So definitely leave us a voice message and we will talk to you guys next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Bye. I did not wave.
You didn't wave.
I didn't wave.
Success. It's just a cigarette. And it cannot be that bad.
It is.
It is.
Wait, that should be our song.
What is that?
It's,
I don't even know what it is.
It's like a, I don't know, it's just a random indie song, but TikTok took over and, did it. And essentially it's like, it's just a cigarette and it cannot be that bad. And then it goes lower and it shows like the bad part of it. So either someone's singing all pretty in the frame and then suddenly they're a demon or... Or it shows Lindsay Lohan before drugs and then her after. And it's like, something, something, something make you sad. I don't know.
Oh my god.
It's just a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like everyone was buying adult coloring books.
Yeah.
And the news was like, can coloring make you feel less stressed or something? And I was like, yes! As I scribble across the pages.
No, she's fallen.
No, she's fallen and she can't get up.
Why do you have to do this to me, Mikey? Every day. Every time I try to record.
Me during the entire Diatla Fast.
This is being recorded. I forgot about that.
This is going to be another one where we have like an hour before we've even gotten started.
I'm like, highlight, delete. No, I'm kidding. A lot of it goes into the bloopers.
Stay there. Don't move. You're not allowed.
Watermelon sugar. Hi. Watermelon sugar. Hi. Hi. Now that we've been recording for like 20 minutes. Okay, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Ma!
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 Ma! Ma! Ma!
Meow! Mouse!
Meow!
He looks at me like, no, stop. You're not a cat.
I can't get him to look.
The meow of, like, meowing that I do, my mom and I just, like, meow at each other sometimes. And then we're like, wait a minute. We were doing that to each other, not Harvey. What's wrong with us?
It's like you and your mom just meowing back and forth, and your dad walks in, like...
And Harvey's not even in the room anymore.
All
He's
right.
like, y'all are weird.
we get to that point where it's like we just don't even do it while the cat's in the room anymore. Okay.
Hell hath no
woman. Hell hath no woman. She makes Cersei Lannister. Cersei? It's Cersei. I always say that. And Prince Igor was prince of the first East Slavic state known as... Couldn't get known out. And Igor's predecessors had managed to conquer a neighboring tribe. No, predecessors. Predecessors.
English. It's all good. It's all good.
I should just start doing it in Polish. No.
You can't even get that out. What is predecessors in Polish? That has to go in the bloopers.
That could be pished. That could be...
pished.
Stop it, Sarah. Stop it. Okay.
Hold on. I have to burp. Our bodies.
I'm telling you, they don't like podcasting.
No, they don't.
They wait all day. Until these moments.
Your proposal.
I hear that. Also, interesting enough. So Olga is reported to have said, quote, your proposal is... Caroline, what is wrong with me? Do I need to take a shot? Like, will that help or will it make it worse?
Many things are wrong with you. I hate to say.
I know.
That's why we're friends.
I'll just do the rest of this in, like, Polish or Ukrainian or Russian or something. Because
no big deal. I'm sure our audience will
It's meant
understand.
To be said in that language. It stems from that language. And after they were buried alive, it's written that... Oh, nope, can't say that.
The dove coats, the coops, the porches, and the haymows.
What's up? Hey, welcome to Mows. And she also continued to evade.
That sounded so weird. I was like, if only you knew what you know now.
He's like that southern grandma. It's like, oh, sweetie, if only you knew what you know now. Like, sounds just like a mouthful of like something.
She doesn't have her dentures in.
I don't think it would be that clear, though. It'd be like,
no.
Oh, hi. Oh, yeah. What are you real about?
My foot's asleep again. Every single time we record, my foot falls asleep.
Well, who is it now? Is it Olga?
I don't know. It might be Jeff.
Not suspicious.
Superstitious?
Superstitious. I was trying to think of the Office quote that's like, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Donna. Oh, Donna. We love you.
We love you, Donna. What is he doing?
He's just cute.
Caroline's making very cute faces at Mouse as he sleeps.
Yes.
Mouse is my cat, which is confusing, yes. But it had to be done. He scurries around like a little mouse.
He did. He's our little mascot because...
Yeah. He's here every time we record, pretty much.
Yep. He just sleeps on the little ottoman thing.
He's so cute.
He's just all sprawled out. So cute. Love it. I love cats.
At Wicked Weird Gwim.
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 Gwim. Gwim. On iTunes, you...